Where do you work?
I work in Farmingdale, New York. I work for the Tyree Construction Company as a fleet administrator in the fleet management department, keeping track of the mechanics' work orders, entering the data into the computer, and scheduling vehicles for periodic repairs, oil changes, inspections, ordering parts, conducting inventory.
Before that, you
I was retired.
Okay, and before that?
I worked for the Long Beach Fire Department. I was a commanding officer of the professional career firefighters.
And how long?
I was there for about a year. A little over a year.
But you were involved in firefighting for quite a while.
Yes, for 35 years I was a volunteer fireman with Long Beach Fire Department.
And what is your most poignant memory in all those years fighting fires?
Poignant. Making a couple of rescues. Finding dead people.
That's not quite what I meant.
And I remember the coldest fire I ever went to.
Okay, how was that?
Cold. Pretty big fire, too. But we had just come back from another fire, and we were already wet. And then the wind started whipping up. Oof. It was ice all over the place. And it was pretty cold. Big fire, too.
How big?
Pretty big. 4-story frame. I don't know. 200 by 100. Big house. Big building. It was in the west end of Long Beach.
Yeah.
And the wind was whipping off that bay out of the north. And another house had caught fire. So I wonder we didn't lose the whole block. If we didn't lose a block that night, we're never going to lose a block. I was an officer for 20 years, or thereabouts. Lieutenant, captain, and I was the chief's aide, which that particular spot was an officer's spot. I would be in charge of interior firefighting as a captain.
And what are you going to do tomorrow?
Going to work. I'm sending out applications to Georgia, in Georgia. To Georgia? Whatever jobs I can find with fire departments in Georgia, I'm submitting them.
So what's the story with our travels? What's the latest word?
The latest word is we're going to do like 4 days in Georgia and 4 days in Florida. Thereabouts.
Not very good at this whole conversation thing.
You're supposed to die. What are you supposed to do with this?
It's just supposed to be a conversation. Just supposed to talk.
And then what?
And then I'm going to transcribe it.
Allison's very unhappy.
Why?
She doesn't want to be there.
No? Why, because Yuli's gone?
No. I think she just doesn't want to be there. She says it wouldn't be so bad if she was able to come home and go, you know, commute.
Well, she can always go to Queens College.
No, she's not going to college. Transfer to another college. Transfer to another college. So your mother got on the phone and called Garrett and said, can Allison come live there in January?
Oh, that's what that conversation was about? I heard it.
How'd you hear it?
Mommy called her. No, I was in the living room. She was in the kitchen. Oh, no, when Allison called here. When Allison called back.
Oh, when I took the dog out?
Yeah.
Oh.
That was a continuation? Yeah, I guess it must have been.
Yeah, everybody was crying.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
I didn't want to go there either.
Stony Grove?
Yeah. It's dreary. Swamp.
Well, I hate to cut this short, but I have to get up at 5:30 because I like to have my coffee before I go to work. And I have to be there at 8:00, but I usually like to get there like between closer to 7:30. I don't pay you for lunch. You have to work from 8 to 5, an hour for lunch. Well, tomorrow I have to do the payroll.
Oh, my favorite. Yeah. Do you have to sit there as a chung chung?
What is that?
A folding machine.
No. I just have to document the.
Yeah, lucky you.
Just the three guys. Oh, I used to do that for a living. Jeez. Had machines to take apart the paper. We also had machines that took the carbon paper out from between the other paper, depending upon how many parts there was. So like two-part paper wasn't so bad. When you had 3, 4, 5, three-part paper wasn't so bad, but 4 and 5, they even had a 6, but I don't think I ever used it, but there was a 6th bin there. And I remember seeing in the stock room a box of 6-part paper.
Where was this?
At Avis Rent-A-Car. It was a long, long time ago. Yeah, the machine would run, and little things would pull the paper through and wind the carbon paper. And the various copies would fold into a bin. So it would come out off the shelf, and the last copy would drop first, then the second to last, then the middle one, then the second one, then the first one. You know? And if it was a good box, it would go real smooth, you know? But if it was a lousy box, it was terrible. It would screw up the whole thing. Trying to fix that.
So this machine just separated them?
Yeah. Separated the copies and took out the carbon paper.
So they were printed beforehand? And yes. Then you put them in the machine? Yeah.
Printed on a computer printer. Big, huge.
How long did you work there?
At Avis?
Yeah.
Like 2 years, 2.5 years.
How old were you?
21, 22, 23.
What were you, the clerk?
My title was computer operator trainee. And then various reports would be in them. And you have to tear off the reports and bind it up and send it out to people, depending upon what report and what copy. Copy number 3, report number 5, you know, that went to some guy in Chicago. Yeah, break it all down. Jeez, that was a long time ago. That building is now vacant. Big, huge Avis World headquarters. Old Country Road in Westbury. 900 Old Country Road. It was a gorgeous building. Everything operated. You know, the big computer system operated from there. And they went, and they, all the terminals and all the rental places was connected by telephone line. It was a network, you know. Network Operations Center.
Where is that now?
I don't know what they do. The place is empty. Totally empty.
And they were the last people in there?
They own the place.
Still?
Yeah. Oh. I don't know what they did. I don't know where they went. But everybody, you know, met with the main headquarters. And all the big shots worked there. Chairman of the board, the president. And now I just saw recently they're looking to buy budget rental car.
Yeah, everybody's buying everybody. Yeah. Airlines, rental places.
Yeah. It's a massive acquisition merger.
Microsoft and Adobe are apparently in secret talks.
Adobe, really? Humanistics, we can't do this.
Oh, you need glasses? You can see?
When the sunlight strikes raindrops in the air, they act like a prism and form a rainbow. A rainbow is a division of white light into many beautiful colors. These take the shape of a long, round arch with its path high above, and its two ends apparently beyond the horizon. There is, according to legend, a boiling pot of gold at one end. People look, but no one ever finds it. When a man looks for something beyond his reach, his friends say he is looking for the pot of gold at the end of the rainbow. Throughout the centuries, men... Who wrote this? This is terrible. Throughout the centuries, men have explained the rainbow in various ways. Some have accepted it as a miracle without physical explanation. To the Hebrews, it was a token that there would be no more universal floods. The Greeks used to imagine that it was a sign from the gods to foretell war or heavy rain. The Norsemen considered the rainbow as a bridge over which the gods passed from the earth to their home in the sky. Other men have tried to explain the phenomenon physically. Aristotle thought that the rainbow was caused by reflection of the sun's rays by the rain. Since then, physicists have found that it is not reflection, but refraction by the raindrops which causes the rainbow. Many complicated ideas about the rainbow have been formed. The difference in the rainbow depends considerably upon the size of the water drops, and the width of the colored band increases as the size of the drops increases. The actual primary rainbow observed is said to be the effect of superpositioning of a number of bows. If the red of the second bow falls upon the green of the first, the result is to give a bow with an abnormally wide yellow band, since red and green lights, when mixed, form yellow. This is a very common type of bow, one showing mainly red and yellow, with little or no green or blue.
Okay, read the next.
Who wrote this? That's terrible. Well, here's a story for you. Sarah Perry was a veterinary nurse who had been working daily at an old zoo in a deserted district of the territory. So she was very happy to start a new job at a superb private practice in North Square near the Duke Street Tower. That area was much nearer for her and more to her liking. Even so, on her first morning, she felt stressed. She ate a bowl of porridge, checked herself in the mirror, checked herself into the local room and washed her face in a hurry. Then she put on a plain yellow dress and a fleece jacket, picked up her kit and headed for work.
Stop.
When she got there was a woman with a goose waiting for her. The woman gave Sarah an official letter from the vet. The letter implied that the animal could be suffering from a rare form of foot and mouth disease, which was surprising, because normally you would only expect to see it in a dog or a goat. Sarah was sentimental, so this made her feel sorry for the beautiful bird. Before long, that itchy goose began to strut around the office like a lunatic, which made an unsanitary mess. The goose's owner, Mary Harrison, kept calling, "Kama, Kama," which Sarah thought was an odd choice for a name. Kama was strong and huge, so it would take some force to trap her, but Sarah had a different idea. First, she tried gently stroking the goose's lower back with her palm, then singing a tune to her. Finally, she administered ether. Her efforts were not futile. In no time, this goose began to tire, so Sarah was able to hold on to Kama and give her a relaxing bath. Once Sarah had managed to bathe the goose, she wiped her off with a cloth and later on her right side. Then Sarah confirmed the vet's diagnosis. Almost immediately, she remembered an effective treatment that required her to measure out a lot of medicine. Sarah warned that this course of treatment might be expensive, either 5 or 6 times the cost of penicillin. I can't imagine paying so much, but Mrs. Harrison, a millionaire lawyer, thought it was a fair price for a cure. The Virginia Theater. It is usually rather easy to reach the Virginia Theater. Board car number 56, somewhere along Churchill Street, and ride to the highway. Transfer there to the Mississippi bus. When you arrive at Judge Avenue, begin walking toward the business zone. You will pass a gift shop displaying little children's playthings that often look so clever. Boop. You wish yourself young again. It should have been a semicolon. Such things as books and toys, and behind the counter, a playroom with an elegant rug and smooth, shining mirrors. Beyond this shop are the National Bank and the Globe Garage. Turn south at the next corner. The theater is together.